Yeah.
Because he battled the injury most of his last year at Arkansas. But anyway, yeah, it was it's disappointing. And with the last couple years, we've had some significant ones. I guess, yeah, Swanson's the guy this year for the most part.
The only guy I can think of.
Yeah.
He's got a shot.
I don't even know. Because, I mean, his draft stock, it seems like, has gone down to some degree. All right, let's go to the Stiggy's Rock and Roll Chicken Check hotline from SportingLiveArkansas.com. Jim Harris standing by.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim Harris. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Only made you wait about 3.5 minutes.
Yesterday, did I? It wasn't yesterday, was it?
No, it's the 19th.
I'm there.
Yeah. Sorry you missed it, Jim. It was yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Sorry. Sorry you missed it. Don't come.
No, you're good. Buzz Golf Tournament is going to be May 19th as we rescheduled that, so that'll work out great. Jim,
that will work out great.
Are we missing anybody as far as draft potential? Arkansans, even outside of Arkansas, I mean, the University of, is there, you know, are the guys up at the linemen, D linemen from ASU who had great careers, are those guys in line to be drafted? I don't know.
I hate to tell you this at this moment now that you have me on, but as far as the NFL draft goes, I'm kind of like, as soon as they're done with college, you know, I kind of watch them a little bit, but I'm sort of over it. Does that make sense? I'm kind of a college football guy.
Well, it has been, yeah.
Yeah, Travis Swanson, obviously, third or fourth round. He's rated the third best center available. He's the one I would say probably keeping your eyes on. I don't figure, the defensive players would probably get a free agent look. I'm talking about Byron Jones maybe would get a, you know, free agency look. I just really don't think there's too many out there, at least from the Razor. Well, Hocker, of course.
Right.
I don't know if anybody's necessarily going to draft Hocker, but there'll be plenty of people who want to give him a fair look, and somebody always needs an accurate field goal kicker who can knock him home from 55 yards. I mean, you know,
yeah, I'd be surprised.
Figured somewhere.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's not on a roster somewhere for sure. And of course, the former Arkansans who were involved in the draft this time last year, some of them in the same places, some have moved on, like Tyler Wilson to Tennessee, where, you know, by all accounts, it looks like he's going to have a chance to compete for the job over there with the injury to Locker and, you know, the limited roster they've got at quarterback. So hopefully that works out for him. Let's shift gears then, Jim. Let's talk about Arkansas football. And I guess we have talked to you once since the spring game. What we have not talked about is something I actually saw on your Twitter initially before I went on a rant about it last week. And I don't want to spend a lot of time about, oh, you know what? Somebody just pointed out Chris Smith. That's a good point. Chris Smith should be drafted, defensive end.
Yeah.
I don't know how I forgot that guy, but I'll tell you who made me forget him.
He was on defense.
It was Dietrich Wise in the spring game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that guy could make you forget. Nothing against Chris. He's a good guy. He's only 6'1". Chris Smith was only 6'1". That's probably the drawback at end for him. But he'll go probably in the later rounds. I'm sorry I forgot him. But I really have high expectations for Dietrich Wise to explode and become a heck of a ball player at end for Arkansas. I think his presence opposite Trey Flowers next season gives Arkansas, you know, with Darius Bylon, gives Arkansas a pretty good start in the line. And I liked Hodge as well, DeMarcus Hodge, in the spring game. But anyway, I'm jumping the gun on you there about spring practice. But
no, that's good.
Just kind of segued in there.
What about what about Phylon? Obviously, he had a breakout year last year. What was his spring like from what you were able to glean?
He had a good year, and he had a really solid spring against to be frank and earnest and honest.
Just be Jim. That's fine.
None of Arkansas's defense, first team defense, went up against a lot of, number one talent. I mean, the ones met the ones a few times, and I think they won the battle. I think Phylon won his battles. But, you know, when you're looking at the second-team offensive line, he dominated, and he should have. Mm-hmm. And actually, Arkansas's defense, if you go back to that spring game, and something that everybody ought to be encouraged about, is that the first team defense did what a first team Arkansas defense does against the world, or however they describe the second team and third team and all the other players, is that they dominated. You know, they were put in a bind on the very first series after turnover, and they held the white to field goal, and then they only gave up one other score, and that's a concerning one, because the safety on the play, Gaines took a horrible angle on the play, and it was the last play of the half, and it was a little out route the receiver had got a little step on the cornerback, and the safety just needs to get the guy down, and instead took a really terrible angle that they're going to probably spend all summer making sure that doesn't happen again. And that was the only other score that the first team gave up, and that was pretty impressive. All those other points were scored. I think they ended up with like 22, but those were on that field goal exhibition thing they did between quarters. So the first team defense really only gave up, you know, a field goal and that last touchdown before the half. And that's what you want your – I mean, let's face it. If they had given up 24, 28 points to a second team offense at Arkansas, you'd have to be really worried.
Right.
I came away encouraged with the way they played, with a lot of aggressiveness. You know, they're not going to be super talented. They didn't wave a wand up there and all of a sudden become – you know, a talented defense like a Florida, Georgia, Alabama, any of those guys. But they're going to play and give themselves a chance and put players in position to make plays and to cause problems for the opposing offense instead of standing there and sort of being a scout team defense for two plays and then sort of blitzing predictably on third and long, which they did last year.
Yeah, and again, I think we go back to, this has been sort of a common theme in talking to people who've been around it a little bit this spring, is that don't make too much of the spring game. That's not indicative necessarily of what all went on, and certainly it's a little bit of a unique approach, as you were kind of alluding to anyway. So it's not, you know, not the whole picture of what happened in the spring, although it was, you know, there were some disappointing things about it. But anyway, I do want to move on.
Don't get disappointed that Brandon Allen, I mean, you know, struggled early in that ball game. Try to look at some of the positives that once they put him in a flow, got him into the rhythm. A great offensive coordinator gets his quarterback in a rhythm, and it didn't start out that way, but it ended that way. He finished 7 of 8, and I thought coincidentally, you hear Bielema, I mean, you know his feelings of kind of more up-tempo offenses. Well, Arkansas kind of picked up the tempo up there in the second half, and it worked better for Brandon. Less time to think, more time to react and perform. And I thought in the second half, I mean, you have to take them both into consideration. Yeah, he didn't play well in the first half, but in the second half, he played really well. So it was kind of a wash. And let's not toss the 2014 season just because of two spring game interceptions and a bad start.
Agreed. Let's move on to the 3 p.m. kicks, Jim, and I saw this on your
Twitter
account first, and I took it and ran with it. It was something I complained about a little bit going into the season. Then I went and actually experienced what a 105-degree game feels like at 3 o'clock with a son who, you know, was unable to sit through it. I don't blame Jeff Long, and I don't know why anybody would. If you think he's responsible for this, I don't think you probably understand the SEC network arrangement. But it is devastating, I think. It's not devastating. That's an overstatement. It's disappointing, I guess, is a better way to say it, that the SEC folks don't understand the situation with the weather in the South. And, you know, the reason it's unique is that, and yes, people play 2:30, 3 o'clock games in late September, early October, and through the season. To do it at the beginning of the season, the very first game, I can't remember it. You know what's more, I remember more, is them moving a 6 o'clock kick to 8 o'clock because it was going to be too hot. That's how we used to be. Now it's whatever's going to pay the bills on TV is what wins. And a 3 o'clock kick is not only disappointing, it's not only inconsiderate. To me, it's unacceptable.
Well, there were probably other teams in the SEC that they could have picked for the 3 o'clock September 6th game that coincidentally follows Arkansas State and Tennessee that kicks off at 11. And they chose Arkansas. And it's non-conference game with football championship subdivision Nicholls State. So, I mean, you can almost think in some ways it's a little slap. I mean, to Arkansas, that's the game they picked on September 6th because, yeah, all through the SEC on September 6th, I would guess, unless there's a tremendous cloud cover over the entire South on that weekend, it's going to be, you know, close to 100 degrees.
Right.
And it's going to be unbearable for the fans. But I heard you guys talking last week, and I think Pat put it – actually, I heard Pat say that this is kind of telling for the future that the fans – I think we're past that point. I think the fans have already been kind of, you know, put in a position
– marginalized, yes.
It isn't about the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal. The SEC Network's going to bring, you know, quite a few dollars to Arkansas's athletic budget here in the future, and I don't think it's an assumption to think they'll eventually get all the cable and satellites hooked up and everybody will be subscribing and they'll get their millions. So Arkansas's willing to trade some of these inconveniences to the fans, and it's only it's only the ones that have to pay, you know, that $50-something ticket outside. You know, I think somebody else, and it may have been Pat again, that said, you know, a bunch of those guys or a bunch of those fans are going to be in the air-conditioned comfort of the club seats with their wine and beer, or they're in their sky boxes. And
Well, bottom line is, and I want to reiterate this,
yes.
Two things. First of all,
it's not good.
I don't
it
want to discourage good. People from going to the games. I want you to go to the games. And if I was available to go, if I didn't have another commitment with my other job, I would go too. Secondly, it's not about me. I can deal with it. I could have stayed the whole game, but I got to, you know, I'm not, my 7-year-old kid's dying out there. My wife was unbelievably uncomfortable. I can live with it. I feel bad for the little people that want to go to the game, and it's tough on a kid or it's tough on a senior. I mean, if you're 80 years old and you go to all these Razorback games, that's pretty brutal for you. I mean, I'm just—I got to think.
Sure, it is. I mean, there'll be people fall out.
Yeah, there's no question.
Jim, was there any? I'm curious, since you know you've been around since, I guess, prior
forever.
To the television.
Since they named the Razorbacks the Razorbacks. Yeah.
What was there any conversation about this? Let's just, you know, back when you can recall as a youngster, and is this just seem to be popping up now because the alternative is you get a leather couch with AC and you can flip between games during the commercials?
Well, when I was a youngster, they had the games already decided that what would be on TV before the season even started. So you didn't have people moving kickoff times around 6 days before kickoff.
Okay.
I know, isn't that a shock?
Yeah,
isn't that funny how they used to do it? But that worked two ways. I mean, you might end up with an Illinois your Michigan State game where both teams were 4-7. You know, I don't know. If
right. No, I know what you're saying, though, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, the flexible schedule theoretically is good.
But would there be 2 p.m. kickoffs, 3 p.m. kickoffs that you can remember on, you know, an August first game of the year, or was always 6 p.m. or earlier?
Well, the season didn't start on August 30th either. You know, I mean, that up until the 12th game or the 11th, game, believe it or not, was added in 1970, and Arkansas ended up with Stanford in a 5 p.m. kickoff here in Little Rock, and that was on about, I'm going to take a guess and say that was like September 9th. It could have been September 11th, but that was like the earliest kickoff for a long time. Then they added the 12th game. Then they went back here to, you know, kicking off on Labor Day in August 31st here in about the last 17, 18 years. They always played games in Fayetteville, but the first one in Fayetteville was usually Tulsa, and it was like late in September, and it would kick off at 2:00. They didn't have lights. They didn't have their first night game televised in Fayetteville till 1989.
Interesting.
I mean, they played afternoon games, but afternoon games on September the 21st or the 25th.
Sure, it's different than August the 28th or September, or even Labor Day.
It was pretty warm. I'll bet we sat there. I remember as a student sitting there in the student section, sun facing us, you know, playing Tulsa. And it was hot in late September, but it wasn't August hot.
Stanford was September 12th, going back looking at that game you were talking about,
okay,
too. So,
well,
yeah, and you were pretty well into
what
this
year
month.
Was that? 70?
70.
So Jim, you've been around that long?
Jim?
What?
Yeah, a few years more than that.
My first game was Wichita State, 1966.
There you go.
First game I ever saw as a kid. And here's the thing you're talking about. You take your kids. My kid doesn't even want to go and sweat and be pushed around and have to go through 20 people to get to the seat.
Bro, I'm telling you. Bill
are poorly designed anyway. I mean, you've got like four entrances or so, and you have to go through about 20 people if you sit in the middle of that section. You know, it's really become a tremendous inconvenience, and I've seen, you know, columns by Wally Hall and others about how, I mean, the ticket prices are almost more than to go out and buy a 60-inch TV, HD TV,
right,
and sit there and watch them all.
That's
on
good
TV.
Point.
No, and we've talked about
a factor.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've been talking about how we're going to enhance the fan experience to encourage people to go to games. Well, how about not screwing them with the kickoff times? You know, the other thing is, I'm waiting for the next step, and you know what that's going to be?
What at?
Jeff Long coming out and going, look, we are launching a brand new capital campaign. We're going to dome the stadium. And you know what? I might throw a few bucks at that because
that'd be cool.
These 3 o'clock kicks, if they're not going to go away, I need another alternative because I want to go see the game. So if it's going to be unbearably ridiculous,
that'd be cool.
Let's throw a roof on it.
A retractable, even?
Retractable roof, obviously, because we want to be out and have the natural state and the natural surroundings if the weather's conducive. But look, if it's 108 or if it's 39 and sleeting, I'm fine with a roof.
I'll buy it.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Jim, speaking of grass, and let's talk about Sawgrass, which I think they should officially name it the fifth major. They're not going to do it, but the Players' Championship is this weekend. And, of course, that always leads us back to, what do you think about Tiger? He came out this week and said, I really don't know when I'm going to be back. It's bad for the game, certainly. Love to see him back. But more importantly, I'd love to see Sawgrass officially designated as another major. It's so much fun.
Well, it's interesting that the ratings are down, and those ratings are the fringe people who will tune in just because Tiger's playing. I mean, the real golf fans are the ones pretty much tuning in now to see J.B. Holmes win, which I think is probably the fifth major. I think Quail Hollow in Charlotte's a much better overall course than Sawgrass is. I know Sawgrass has everybody's, you know, dream hole, or I mean, everybody wants to play the 17th, you know, whatever. But I think that at some point that will be seen as a pretty, you know, pretty difficult test. It's just hard to get everybody in that field. They had a great field. They just didn't have everybody. But they had, you know, a lot of the top players in the world were there last weekend. The Players have, so I guess they brag about having the best field or the best in the top 100, isn't that right? They usually have probably 98 of the top 100 will be playing.
Yeah,
it's a fun tournament to watch. It's a fun course to play, and it's a fun tournament to watch on TV, and it's great to hear Johnny Miller again. And as far as picking a favorite, I would think that, I mean, you'd have to look at Matt Kuchar playing pretty well like he is, and you know, he's sued for that course, I guess.
Yeah, Bryce Mulder's playing here. Ken Duke is in it. In fact, they're
good to hear they're in it.
They're going early.
I noticed Ken is he had a super year last year. Our executive golfer that I wrote a few stories for in Arkansas Business is out, by the way.
Yeah.
Came out a few weeks ago, and we talked about Ken and his year last year. He's, I think, is he what, 126th this year?
I think he's not had a spectacular year, but
no.
he's in striking distance. He's competitive with a long way to go.
Well, he's making some money. Bryce Mulder's having a decent year too.
Yep.
He's made some money here and there, and it'd be great to see either one of those guys up there in the top 20.
Bryce is playing with Jerry Kelly and James Hahn, and Ken Duke is playing with last week's winner J.B. Holmes along with Rory Sabatini. They've tee off early on Thursday.
Boy.
David Lingworth's also in the field.
What a huge difference between J.B. Holmes off the tee, and Ken's not short, don't get me wrong, but he's a pretty steady down the middle 290. J.B. Holmes is out there hitting it, you know, 330.
I don't think Ken averages more than like 275 or 280.
Is he down to that?
I mean, I think that's what he averages, but like you said, he's accurate. I think he lives with that.
He tries to just keep it in play, you know, and I don't – you saw J.B. Holmes on the last hole Sunday hit in the trees, make bogey, and it was probably a fortunate bogey. I even thought his putt nearly was about to look like it might lip out. That won the tournament.
That is a great story. I mean,
fun. You know, and it's the big one in May, and if you set it up, you got the Masters in April, you got this tournament or the one last week, either one of them, in May, then you go to the Open in June, the British Open in July, the PGA. And speaking of that, the PGA is going to Quail Hollow in 2017, playing that same course in August, so that'll be interesting.
As well.
That's a fabulous golf course, though, let me tell you.
Let's go. One of the premier groups, Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia, and Dustin Johnson. I think Sergio has finished runner-up here more than one time.
He's won it. He's won the Players.
Oh, has he? Okay. I guess I remember
that. And then, of course, he had that great little tiff that looked like the Tiger. Was that last year?
Gosh, was that last
remember
year?
The little thing
he pulled his club and made noise when he was hitting his wood and freaked out. Yeah, I think that was last year. That's funny.
He's probably glad Tiger's not here.
The other thing is
they
changed the format this year for the playoff if they end up in one, and a lot of times this tournament does end up with one, which is great. But instead of just going back and playing, I think it's 17, they're going to go 16, 17, 18 as an aggregate score. So, and 18 is no bargain.
Oh, it's awesome. I got to play Sawgrass one time, and
I heard about that trip.
Phenomenal. I mean, it's not phenomenal. It's a brutal hole when you're looking at how far it is for a very average golfer to have to play that thing down that lake, you know, down the – it's so easy to just push it right, stay away from all the trouble.
Yeah, well, for an average golfer, I'm sure that is, but what about for a player like you, Jim? I mean, great player like you, it should have been. No,
Jim used to play
great player.
Yeah, he used to play with the old school wooden heads on the drivers and everything.
Well, I had wooden heads on my driver too. Sorry, buddy.
But he used stone.
He had the
instead of iron.
The Perchegutti.
I can tell you that
Jasper from the Diamond Dig.
Anybody who recalls the Stanford game played with persimmon head golf clubs and a lot of Titleists and all that. Definitely.
Did you ever have a Perchegutti ball?
Blade.
Is that what they called them?
I didn't ever play with one.
Jim was great with the old Niblick back in the day.
Oh, he was unbelievable.
The old hickory shafted Niblick.
It was unbelievable.
Oh my God, this guy's unbelievable.
All right, Jim.
The spoon was my favorite.
Oh, beautiful at the spoon. We got to run. We appreciate the time. We'll catch up on this tournament and talk a little more hog stuff. By the way, Brett Bielema, Coach Anderson, both in town. They will join Randy on Drive Time along with Ray Tucker. They're going to be calling the benefit game tonight, Jim, as well as being over there for the entire duration of Drive Time today. So it'll be a lot of fun as we...
Yeah, and I'm covering... Coach Anderson's going to be in Heber Springs. If anybody's interested in going up to Heber Springs, they may have some tickets left for their Razorback Club. It's actually the Greater Greers Ferry Lake Razorback Club. But Coach Anderson will be speaking Thursday night. I think it's about 6 o'clock.
I'll be there, Jim.
Oh, you're going to be there?
We'll be there, but I'm trying. This is one of my things that I'm trying to find out.
Can I ride with you?
If you want to go early, apparently they want to get me there real early. But
you're
more than welcome.
Okay, because I'm going.
All right, Jim, appreciate it. We'll hopefully see you tonight.
See.
Thanks. Bye. Sorry, I know we're out of time.
I love
sorry.
When you twirl your finger like that.
Well, I know we're
makes
way out
me
of
so
time.
Happy.
Well, I'm not trying to cut Jim off, but we got to go. 11:31.
Well, let me tell you what you need.